Success Match Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Charles Barkley on Pacquiao Mayweather in about 5 minutes. Good Tuesday. I have to start out on a tough note here about Kirk Gibson. Kirk Gibson diagnosed with Parkinson's this morning. So we're going to talk about that a little bit, quite a bit actually. And then the NFL draft, of course. Brad Sussmat with you. Welcome on in. We are Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona-centric on Sports360AZ.com. We also partner with the Arizona Republic AZ Central Sports. And to that end, Kent Summers will join us, the Arizona Cardinal insider for AZ Central Sports. He'll join us at about 10:20 this morning. Some interesting angles developing around the NFL draft. Do you take a guy who gets pulled over for a small amount of marijuana 3 days before the draft, the whole character issue? The Cardinals have shown in the past with Tyrann Mathieu that they're not afraid. And Shane Ray's situation with the Cardinals sitting there in the first round, as he dropped 3-4 rounds, as people are reporting will happen today? We don't know that. People are guessing, speculating, but what are the Cardinals are kind of a maverick team. They're kind of a wild card group. So we'll talk about that. The situation in Baltimore is a big national thing. I know for sports fans, if the games are canceled or not canceled and all of that, we'll bring that to you. On the field, Madison Bumgarner and Max Scherzer have a little bit of a brushback. I want to get into that as the show moves on today. And some news around Arizona State football last night, picking up a wide receiver from UCLA coming to Arizona State. So that's kind of interesting to me, and some scheduling stuff too. So quite a bit going on my mind. Let's get you caught up on the things going on in the world of sports on a busy, busy Tuesday, brought to you by the Honda Resort and Casino. Honda Resort and Casino is just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. The Honda Resort and Casino, the place to get away from it all, head up to the high country. They just had another dusting of snow up there at sunrise. Beautiful time of year to head on up. Spring has sprung. It's supposed to be warm in the valley this week and around the great state. So head up to the White Mountains and up to Pine Top to the Honda Resort and Casino. Get away from it all. Enjoy it all at the elevation and take it all in, the hunting, the hiking, the outdoors. And stay at the Honda Resort and Casino and enjoy the entertainment, the great food, the great fun. And do it all at the Honda Resort and Casino, Honda Resort and Casino, just outside of Pine Top in the beautiful White Mountains. That is the Honda Resort and Casino. Kirk Gibson diagnosed with Parkinson's today. This is no joke. We know about Parkinson's here in the Valley with Celebrity Fight Night that Jimmy Walker puts on every year, and Muhammad Ali being a part-time Valley resident. This happened about a half hour ago. It was released that Gibby was not in the booth on opening day, or he was rather on opening day, but has not been in the booth since, according to Fox Sports Detroit. And earlier today, he sent a release out that said, this is Kirk Gibson, quote, "I have faced many different obstacles in my life and have always maintained a strong belief that no matter the circumstances, I could overcome these obstacles. While the diagnosis poses a new kind of challenge for me, I intend this to stay true to my beliefs with support of my family and friends. I will meet this challenge with the same determination, unwavering intensity that I have displayed in all my endeavors in my life. I look forward to being back at the ballpark as soon as possible." That's from Gibby. So, of course, you have to wonder, the former Diamondback manager, if at all he was impacted last season. You do have to wonder that. I think that is only fair. Parkinson's is a disease of the central nervous system. It's a telltale symptom of shaking, tremors, particularly in the hands. Gibby is 57. 4.5 years he was here in Arizona until he was dismissed last year, at the end of last season. So, obviously starting out on a tough, tough note. On the field and in the ring and all that stuff. So, Pacquiao Mayweather. We have had the discussion here and in for the last few weeks about the moral compass and if, in fact, you're going to pay money to watch this fight. And people are using the tone of, "I am outraged. I cannot believe Mayweather has done this to women and that to women. It has been proven." And I would say, yes, it has. And so did Mike Tyson. And Mike Tyson set huge records whenever he stepped into the ring. This is not the first time, and this is boxing. This is a sport that's not regulated very well. There will be a ton of interest in this fight on Saturday night. I myself am interested in it. I don't look at the person outside of the ring. Maybe that's a failing of mine. I have two daughters. Of course, I'm not a fan of his. That's why I want Pacquiao to smack him in the face. The thing is, if you want this to really grow, then you want Pacquiao to win so that there is a rematch. If Mayweather wins Saturday night, there's not going to be a rematch. I mean, there's nothing left. I caught up with Charles Barkley earlier. Of course, Charles, Valley resident, loves being at the big fights, is always center stage, and we talked about Mayweather-Pacquiao this Saturday.
There's no way in the world that I'm going to miss that fight. You know, boxing and football are my two favorite sports.
Mm-hmm.
I told my boss, I said, hey, let me tell you something. There is no way I'm going to miss. I said, I'll get you a ticket to go with me. Because I got to tell you, Brad, this has been the hardest ticket.
Yeah.
In my 30 years, well, not probably 25 years of going to Vegas, this is the hardest ticket by far. I mean, I don't even think the public can get tickets. That's how capped these tickets have been. It's crazy.
$80K is what I saw this morning per ticket. $80K.
Oh, it's ridiculous, man. My guy told me, he said, Charles, you know I love you, right? I said, no. He says, you can get four tickets, and you can't get more than four. And I said, okay, I'm not going to be a pig. I really need six. But if you can't do it, I understand you probably, because everybody wants tickets. He said, but they did. They put a cap on me. And normally, I'm a whale. They give me whatever I want because I'm I'm a gambler. But he says, you can only have four tickets. And I said, I understand. But I said, if two free up anywhere, which I don't think they'll free up, it's gonna be. I can't wait to get there.
Who are you taking? You got your group yet?
No.
You got everybody hitting on you to take you though. So for you to take them, I bet.
Oh yeah, no question.
Friends
you
of
know
friends.
You know what's really weird?
Yeah.
I've had other celebrities call me. That's what's weird. Because everybody wants to be there. And Brad, I know you've been to a big fight.
Many.
Ain't nothing like it.
No question.
It is the most energy. I've been to a lot of sporting events. The juice and the energy for a big fight is crazy. And this one probably should have happened 2 years ago. But I still want to be there. And I can't wait.
Mike Tyson, it used to be when I got into this business, and you and I are around the same age, early 20s. And they'd fly me up there. I'd do the show. I'd walk in. And on one side of me, I remember clearly one time, Michael Jackson, rest his soul, is walking in with his sister. And to the other side of me was Muhammad. And, you know, I'm early 20s. I didn't know what was going on. And it was awesome. And those fights, this I think, maybe the revival of boxing. I don't buy WWE is going to take it over.
No, but what I'm hoping is, I'm hoping it's a great fight and they do it again. You know, it really bothers me. These guys, like Muhammad Ali and Frazier fought three times. When's the last time you saw like great fighters have like an epic series? They don't do that anymore. They fight a guy one time and it's over.
TV networks get involved, agents get involved, they screw the whole thing up. Because I think the guys want to fight. It's just all the business side of it. So.
Yeah, but you know what? Everybody can make money. That's the one thing. Everybody's making money, but we never, like I tell the guys, you got to do what's best for the sport. You know, you got to do what's best for the sport because everybody makes money. It ain't just you guys. Everybody makes money.
I asked Charles Barkley earlier, and we're hearing from lots of voices around the big fight. Charles on the show earlier. Looking forward to that. On the NFL side, so Chandler High, Deion Jordan, this morning, suspended for the entire season. Chandler High's Deion Jordan, Miami Dolphins. And the Dolphins were talking. He was the third overall pick in 2013. They were talking to Philadelphia about trading Deion Jordan. Suspended for the entire year for another substance abuse situation. And he's not going to appeal the suspension. Huge stuff here. And it leads me into this side of the story, too, around the draft. We'll talk with Kent Summers further in about 5 minutes. So, I'm sure by now many of you have heard, if not, Shane Ray out of Missouri, considered one of the best defensive players in this year's draft, popped for possession of marijuana, small amount of marijuana. He had 14 and a half sacks, 22 and a half tackles. I bring up small amount. Any amount this close to the draft, you've got to be kidding me. He failed a drug test early in his career, too, at Missouri. Now, he's viewed as a top 10 pick. And the question that I would have is, if he begins to slide, and the Cardinals are sitting there at 24, would he, in fact, be there for them, and should they consider taking him, or in fact, do take him? Here's ESPNU draft analyst Kevin Weidel on where Shane Ray could fall from the draft after this situation yesterday.
Back half of the first round, some of the Steelers at 22. Potentially, you know, the Cardinals need help at 24. Even the Colts at 29 could be an option. And if we get in the late first, I mean, in the early second, if a team doesn't, like Jacksonville doesn't pick up a rusher, or the Jets and Washington Redskins early in that second round, I think that's where you can see Ray come off the board now.
Okay, so Steve Keim talked about this earlier, and we used it on the show earlier. He talked about this situation and guys of character. We'll talk with Kent about that here momentarily. Here is more of ESPNU draft analyst Kevin Weidel on teams questioning Ray's accountability.
You got to weigh what the incident was, how severe it was, and accountability certainly comes into play. Does this guy understand it, understand what it takes? You know, making that type of decision, taking that risk, I should say, driving around with marijuana days before the draft, it's not very smart.
And, you know, obviously it's not, but Randy Gregory failed a marijuana test too. Are the Cardinals the type of franchise that would say, you know what, they have had their issues, we are not going to walk away from them, we think that we've done our research, and we're going to go that direction, we'll see. On the baseball front, so the Diamondbacks last night leave the tie and run at third base in the bottom of the ninth. Trumbo meekly grounds out. Here is Chip Hale battling back but coming up short in the ninth inning last night.
We have not been swinging the bat well, period, and especially with men in scoring position. I thought we battled tonight, battled back. We always say if you can bring the tie and run to the plate in a game like that, you're going good. We had the tie and run at third base, so we felt pretty good about that. It's not horseshoes or hand grenades, is it?
It's not horseshoes, shoes. I thought I was going to say, well, you know. Archie Bradley's throwing tonight, so I have a problem tonight. I am supposed to go to a screening of The Avengers, and I've got to talk about this on Friday with Goody, so either I go there or I watch Archie Bradley. I know I sound like a dork. All of you guys are saying you need to go see The Avengers. Come on, it's one baseball game. I don't know. Am I going to be that guy that checks his phone during a movie? I can't. They throw us out. Actually, if your phones turn on in these screenings, these private deals, they just kick you out. But if I say to them, dudes, it's Archie Bradley who's pitching tonight. I need to know. I mean, I got it. I know what's going to happen with Iron Man for the next 5 minutes. I understand that. There's going to be tragedy, and there's going to be tears, and then there's going to be triumph, and then the credits are going to roll. I kind of have the plan of how the Avengers is going to go. But it's one of those things. I want to see Hulk, and, you know, who doesn't want to go to the Avengers? But it's Archie. I'm kind of torn tonight, honestly. All right, Kent Summers is on the other side. We're going to get into, after Kent, Madison Bumgarner getting into Max Scherzer's kitchen a little bit about the designated hitter. And this is an age-old debate, but it's pretty interesting what Bumgarner brings up. We'll circle back over to the draft, more on the fight. Arizona State football getting a wide receiver from UCLA and some ASU basketball news that I'm very pleased with. I have not been grumpy about ASU basketball in 3 weeks. Kent Summers, AZ Central Sports, Cardinal Insiders next.
Like our Facebook fan page for unique Arizona sports content from the high schools to the pros. Facebook.com/sports360AZ.
We've got the fight, we've got the derby this week, draft of course, NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, Archie's throwing tonight. Man, there's a lot of good stuff going on. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Cardinal insider Kent Summers, nice enough to join us for a couple of minutes. The best first-round draft pick in the history of the Arizona Cardinals under your watch on the beat is?
Has to be Larry Fitzgerald. Not a lot of choices as reflected in there. a lot of their futility over 20-something years here. But, yeah, it has to be Fitz.
The one first-round pick that you were just jaw-dropped on, like, wow.
Trading down and passing up a chance to get Terrell Suggs when they desperately needed a pass rusher. They had only 21 sacks the year before. They had the sixth overall pick, and they passed on that. In fact, they weren't even going to take Suggs if they would have stayed at six. They were going to take another a defensive tackle, but they traded down and got Bryant Johnson and Calvin Pace, who, you know, each have had different, decent careers. Pace more than better career than Johnson, but yeah, you pass up a chance to take an elite pass rusher, a hometown kid who wanted to play for the Cardinals, and at that time, that was very unusual.
When Levi Brown was selected over Adrian Peterson, your reaction was blank.
I wasn't surprised. They desperately needed help at tackle. Ken Wisenhunt had said, we're going to rebuild this thing on the offensive and defensive lines. Adrian Peterson had some injury problems at Oklahoma, ankle, shoulder. Believe it or not, there were serious questions about his durability. I mean, it's easy to look back and think, yeah, that's what they should have done, and no question they should have, and they miscalculated Levi Brown's talents, but at the time it wasn't surprising.
Kent Summers with us. Okay, all that said, his background shows all the things you've seen done. What will happen in your mind as we sit here today with 24 on Thursday night?
Who knows? It was interesting. Somebody told me, and I need to go look this up, that the Wall Street Journal looked at the accuracy of 50 mock drafts last year. Not one had the 24th pick correctly, to the right player, to the right team. And in fact, most mock drafts, they were doing well if it was, they got three or four right in terms of the right player going to the right team in the right slot. So who knows? I do think this team is good enough, and they did address some immediate needs well enough in free agency that they have a lot of options open. I think from what everybody says, this is one of the better running back classes over the last 10 years. That said, I think it's going to be hard. If Melvin Gordon is there at 24, it'll be difficult for this team to pass that person up unless there's a pass rusher they really like and they figure they can get a running back like Amir Abdullah or the kid from Indiana or, you know, in the second round.
If Shane Ray is there, 14.5 sacks, 22.5 tackles, are they in a dilemma or do you think they pass on him? Now, Honey Badger says, the pick of Honey Badger says to me, well, there's no question that they would consider him. And every kid's different. I get that, Kent. But the Shane Ray situation in the last 24 hours, I think, brings a whole new dynamic to 24.
Yeah, because, you know, there's an axiom in the scouting world, in the NFL world, that when you flunk a test at this time of the year, when you flunk a test around the comp or at the combine, it's more you failed an intelligence test more than anything. With Tyrann Mathieu, they had time to research his background, to vet him. They had time to research and talk to him at the combine and bring him in and ask him about that. I don't know if teams are surprised at what Shane Ray was cited for marijuana possession. Maybe there were issues at Missouri, and maybe everybody in the NFL knows about it. I don't know that. But it's awful late to try to get to the bottom of this and think, okay, does the kid have a problem? Is it just a stupid mistake? And if he's not smart enough to avoid marijuana now, can we trust him, you know, on a Friday or Saturday night before a critical Sunday game? And, you know, the Cardinals were burned badly with the Darryl Washington situation.
Sure.
So I think if Shane Ray's there, my guess would be they would pass on him for a safer pick.
I've had quite a few people send me notes saying it's just a college kid with a little bit of marijuana on him. My response to that is it's 3 days before the biggest day of his life to this point. And to your point, he's failed a test of smart. You know, that's just, there's no other way to put it.
And yeah, that's how I view it too. And, you know, and with the backdrop of the Cardinals, you know, they were successful in so far in taking a chance on Tyrann Mathieu. They've been burned with Darrell Washington, they face a decision. If he is cleared by the NFL, do they bring him back? And now, you know, will they draft somebody in the first round who was cited for marijuana possession 3 days before the draft? I think that's very doubtful.
Would you be surprised if this draft a few years from now, Jameis Winston and Marcus Mariota turn out to be Jamarcus Russell and Christian Ponder? That's kind of how I am on this one. I mean, it's like there's this draft to me, there's not anybody that I'm looking at saying, wow, I'm completely, totally infatuated that this is going to turn out well for them, you know?
Yeah, it just illustrates how important the quarterback position is, and teams are willing to take a chance, a big chance. It would surprise me, I think, if Jameis Winston turns out to be Jamarcus Russell. From talking to some people who know Jameis Winston and seeing how his interviews went, he seems a lot more interested in football and a lot brighter person. I know his track record at Florida State may run counter to that. And you know, I think Marcus Mariota is a more talented guy than Christian Ponder, no question. But who knows about evaluating quarterbacks in this league? It really is almost a crapshoot. And the thing is, if you don't have one, you take a chance and go get one. I mean, you have to get lucky sometimes.
Well, it's like Cleveland considering trading up to go draft Mariota if he were to drop. And a year ago, they spent a first-round pick on a guy who ends up in rehab. I mean, it's to your
point. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. If I'm Cleveland, I don't trade up for either one of these guys. It's not Eli Manning or Peyton Manning or Ben Roethlisberger or, you know, Philip Rivers or whatever. I mean, I don't think either of these guys are regarded in that class. So I can't see giving up as much as they would have to give up to move up to number two in the draft. And it wouldn't surprise me if the Titans pass on taking a quarterback and say take Leonard Williams from Southern California with that second pick.
Talking with Kent Summers, AZ Central Sports Cardinal Insider, AZ Central Sports with a ton of coverage around the draft on draft day and throughout the weekend. That's over on AZ Central Sports. We partner with them here at Sports360AZ.com. Steve Keim gets paid by Michael Bidwell to give his opinion to Michael Bidwell. So when it comes time to get close to draft, I think you get a lot of the same cliches, although he did have a very colorful quote last week. But to that point, do you have a gut feel about the organization, or are you still in that space of nobody's really telling me anything, nobody's tipping their hand to me, I don't really know on this one?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know that they're tipping their hand. It's, you know, I did get the feeling, and I have gotten the feeling that their interest, that their high, you know, their comments praising Melvin Gordon, that those are sincere, that they really like the kid. And you know, and me personally, I don't see how anybody could not like Todd Gurley from Georgia. You're just going to probably not get the real Todd Gurley
right
until 2016 because of the knee injury. But yeah, Steve Keim loves talking about players. He'll give you his evaluation where they have them ranked on the board. He keeps that pretty close to the vest. I mean, certainly it's not even close to when Dennis Green was coach and ran the draft, and he would just basically tell you who they were going to take. we all knew way ahead of time he was going to take Larry Fitzgerald. We knew the year, J.J. Arrington came out, Denny was raving about him at the combine. We thought, well, there's the Cardinals' second-round pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could almost go down the line. They didn't move up or down in the draft for a lot of years. I think, you know, that makes this more unpredictable. Steve Keim, I know, would love to move down like he did last year and pick up an extra third-round pick, which they used to take John Brown. He would love to do something like that again. So, yeah, a lot more unpredictable, and I think, you know, it's Steve Keim and Arians are more aggressive in the draft and more willing to move around and get players they want or to pick up picks that they want.
No, there's no question. The strategy on Keim is, and it's smart. I mean, I go all the way back to Bobby Bethard. Bobby Bethard's strategy definitely was trade back. If you have a high enough pick, you can trade back and pick up 2, 4, 6. You can pick up a ton of picks. Doesn't mean they're going to get them right. And I think Keim is wired that same way, that just because we're at 24, if I trade back to 30, it's not going to kill me.
Yeah, and it's a team, you know, the Cardinals have been so active in free agency, they don't have a lot of compensatory picks like some teams. You know, it's not like they get an extra 3 or 4 picks that way. So, you know, Keim ultimately wants to build this roster through the draft. And I know all general managers say that, but he really does. And, you know, I think the results of his first two drafts are mixed, mostly because of injury. So he needs another solid drafter. He needs, you know, contributors to come in and at some point reverse that process where they're not signing 6, you know, potential starters in free agency in the first week. You know, that they have the talent on hand, and maybe they can pluck a guy here and pluck a guy there. And then when it comes to late April, they've got an extra 2-3 compensatory picks that gives them, you know, some options during the draft.
Two other questions. I'll let you go. I appreciate your time as always. Quarterback, they took Logan Thomas last year. Do they take a quarterback this year?
I don't think so, unless something surprises them or they've fallen in love with somebody. And I haven't gotten that feeling. Of course, last year, you know, Bruce Arians, you know, just lied to everybody, you know, second day of the draft saying, you know, we're not going to take a quarterback. Why would we? We've got 3 good ones on the roster. And the next day he drafts Logan Thomas and, you know, kind of laughed about it and said, hey, I lied pretty good, don't I? So yeah, I don't think so. I think it's such a, you know, from everything I've read and observed, it's such a bad class of quarterbacks. I don't think they do this year. I think they try and give Logan Thomas another year and see how he develops.
Before I let you go, then, ASU players, they're rising. They may have 2 first-round picks, and we had Marcus Hardison on yesterday, and I think he's somebody that's rising up the board. What are you hearing about the ASU kids?
Same thing. Demarius Randall, I mean, they're now, you know, when I was at the combine in February, I don't know that anyone was talking about him as a first-round pick.
Right.
And now they are, and I think you're seeing also the impact of, you know, these guys, most of them started their careers at a junior college, and they don't have that much four-year college experience. So I think in all of these guys, with Hardison, with Randall, with Jalen Strong, I think scouts see them as ascending players. I mean, you could see each of those guys get better, from what I understand, talking to our beat guy, Doug Holler, and you know, listening to guys who follow ASU more than I do, that all of those guys, you know, came on in their final year. And I think Hardison in particular is a pretty intriguing guy, an athletic guy, a 300-pound guy with some flexibility to play different positions along the front. So, yeah, I think those 3 guys have really helped themselves, probably not so much this offseason, but, you know, maybe with the way they played in you know, from late October through the end of the season.
How many mock drafts have you done?
Not that many.
Radio show mock drafts?
I've done 2. I think I did one, the latest one I did late last week with the Los Angeles Times at 24, and I ended up taking Melvin Gordon.
Yeah. No, that's I'd be very pleased with that. I appreciate your time as always. I'll see you Thursday. Thanks.
Okay, Brad. Thank you.
You got it. There's Kent Summers for a couple of minutes. AZ Central Sports, Arizona Cardinal Insider on the draft and everything around the draft coming up around the Cardinals. So there. The story about Madison Bumgarner and Max Scherzer, I want to get into that on the other side. And I'm very pleased with some things going on over at Arizona State with their basketball program. For many years, I've been fighting with people, some over there and some fans in general, about how nobody cares. And they've hired Bobby Hurley, and there's some things that have come up that I think are worth noting. And Hurley today and Charlie Turner Thorne and Todd Graham, they're all going to be in Tucson today, getting started with their caravan around the state. So I'm going to get that worked in as well. Michael Delarusso, Talk United, comes up just after 11 o'clock. Every week we talk Arizona United SC, their home opener, 6,100 fans. It's great to see soccer growing. That comes up in about 20 minutes. Not only is Archie Bradley throwing tonight for the Diamondbacks, tonight is also Kershaw and Bumgarner. When you say Kershaw and Bumgarner in this day and age, that's must-see in my book. Even if you're not the biggest baseball fan, if you're a sports fan at all. Like Jordy's in today for Eric. You're a baseball guy, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Bumgarner, Kershaw tonight. Yeah.
Sign me up. Absolutely.
Are there any other matchups that are close to that? Or maybe it's just because it's second time this year already they've met.
Yeah.
NL West.
Yeah. Since it's interdivision, I think that always adds a little bit extra to it.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think of matchups of this caliber. It'd be Bumgarner against somebody else or Kershaw against somebody else. But now with Wainwright out, there's not many. Like when Kershaw went against Archie and Bumgarner went against Archie, you had to be at those, and I was. So it was good stuff. All right. So tonight, that's going on. Madison Bumgarner is not happy, though, with Max Scherzer. And this is an interesting debate here. So Max Scherzer, former Diamondback, has come back into the National League. He's over with Washington after being in Detroit. Scherzer says that nobody pays to see a pitcher swinging a wet newspaper. That was his exact quote. Nobody pays to see a pitcher swing a wet newspaper. And Madison Bumgarner said, quote, "Oh, well, my wet newspaper is 34 and a half inches, 33 and a half ounces, and I'm waiting on some new ones right now." Bumgarner hit two grand slams last season. Because Adam Wainwright ruptured his Achilles tendon this last weekend, this debate has been brought back up again. And I think it's pretty meaningful, given that there's a knucklehead in Kansas City who likes to throw 100 miles per hour behind people's heads. And there's no way to have retaliation against him. Now, I don't know about you. When I'm at a baseball game, I like having the strategy of the pitcher hit. I have no problem with that. Can they sacrifice? Can they help themselves out? It's not just 1, 2, 3, you're out, as evidenced by Bumgarner with his two grand slams. But pitchers are hitting just .089 for the season. So the numbers show, they get out more often than not. And Scherzer said he'd prefer that both leagues use the DH. It is kind of crazy when you think about it. When you think about it, that baseball has two different leagues with two different kinds of rules. It'd be kind of like the Eastern Conference and the NBA allowing traveling, which they did during Michael Jordan's era, and they do with LeBron James. You know what my point, though, is different rules for different leagues. In football, the NFC would have it one way, the AFC would have it another. I understand physical style of play and how rosters are built, but baseball still has this somewhat archaic rule here that if you're an American League team, there's a DH. I prefer to see the guy who throws 100 miles per hour at somebody's head have to step into the box and take his own medicine. If he hits 0.89, that's fine. I don't have any problem with that. So this one is Scherzer says, quote, "If you look at it from the macro side, who'd people rather see hit, Big Poppy or me? Who would people rather see, a real hitter hitting home runs or a pitcher swinging a wet newspaper? Both leagues need to be on the same set of rules." Pointing to some young fans, Scherzer said, "Those kids," they were sitting nearby, "those kids don't want to see me hit. No one wants to see a pitcher hit. No one pays for money like that." And Jordy, you just graduated from Arizona State, what, last year? You're like in your early 20s.
Yep.
You're a seam head. You love baseball. Who's right here? Is Scherzer right that the young generation, millennials, I surround myself with millennials by choice. I want millennials that are into the sports world. They see things differently. Eric and I are the only ones outside the millennial age here at Sports 360 AZ. So from your view, which would you rather see?
I want to see both leagues have the same thing, but I...
Which one, though? Get off the fence.
I love...
Crying out loud.
I love the strategy of... that the NL has, you know, using the double switches and things like that. So, yes, the DH adds more power and things like that, but yeah. I love the chess game that both managers have, having that flexibility with the pitcher, moving him up and down the lineup as the game progresses.
So, Scherzer said that fans would rather see a real hitter. You don't agree with that?
I think some fans would, yeah.
Okay.
But I like the behind the scenes type of stuff. Mm. And usually you won't really see that with the AL clubs using the the sacrifice bunts as much and, you know, things like that, especially late in the game, making those switches throughout your lineup.
I kind of like – thanks for that. I kind of like how Bumgarner went after him even further. Scherzer signed for $210 million, okay? And Bumgarner said, quote, he, Scherzer, knew the rules. Whatever much he signed for, what did he get again? $210 million? He didn't have a problem signing his name. He didn't have a problem with hitting then. I'm sure he had his pick of anywhere he wanted to go. So when Washington plays San Francisco, and when Scherzer faces Bumgarner, where he can only hope, I'm thinking there's going to be some sort of, in both ways on this, when Scherzer faces Bumgarner, two of the best that are going at it here a little bit. I like that story. On the other side, we're going to talk about Arizona State, some basketball stuff that caught my eye with ASU football and basketball. And I'm going to circle back on the fight, talk to the coach with Michael Delarusso, comes up shortly, sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, I'm Brad Sussmat. Checking David Griffin out here, the former Suns GM or assistant, who's the GM of the Cavaliers. So Kevin Love is going to be out for all the playoffs now. You know, I was watching the Bulls last night. The Bulls can't even put away Milwaukee. Milwaukee's not very good. And, you know, people are saying that the Cavaliers are in big trouble without LeBron James, or without Kevin Love, rather. And some suspensions there, and I just don't see it. I don't see where the Bulls have got themselves figured out yet. Milwaukee's pushing them. You know, the playoffs are fun, but some of these storylines, you know, like LaMarcus Aldridge flew back from Portland in their series, flew back to Portland by himself, didn't go back on the team plane. And LaMarcus Aldridge is one of the players that I think the Suns people, Suns fans, are all excited about. They're really into this year. I don't see any way, shape, or form he comes here. I don't see any way, shape, or form he goes back to Portland. I think he ends up in San Antonio. So while there's not a Suns team to watch, again, for me to watch the playoffs and how they've played out, I'm looking at players that would be good fits here in Arizona with the Suns, and I just don't see any. I hate to be so depressing about it. Let me move on to some other things. Arizona State basketball is going to play St. John's in December. Now, I bring this up. U of A has always had a good schedule. In my opinion, U of A plays one of the top basketball schedules every year. There's no complaining on my end. They have Gonzaga that comes into town this last year. They've got Gonzaga again, I believe, this year. NAU goes to Gonzaga this year. I've heard forever that ASU just can't schedule for a lack of a myriad of reasons that I find to be less than believable. There, I'll just put it at that. But finally, things have started to change over there. It's funny, well, you bring Bobby Hurley in and you bring in Ray Anderson, and they're just not going to take excuses. It's been too many years of excuses. So they're going to play St. John's on December 22nd at the MGM Grand. Chris Mullin's the coach. I think we need to be there. Sports 360 AZ, we travel. We see stories. We travel. Last year, we were at 20 different locations doing stories. And we'll travel again. I think I'm going to go when ASU plays back in New Jersey, the Barclays Center, the week of Thanksgiving. There's a couple games back there. Go do the Bobby Hurley at home story. I think that'll be fun. I think it'll be interesting to do. So that caught my eye today. Devin Lucien, UCLA transfer, fifth-year senior, who's close with Michael Bercovici. They brought him in. When I saw this story last night, I had some people sending me notes. Can you believe that they got another wide receiver? Well, no, their wide receiving core has had issues, has had injury, has had some young players that haven't come quite into their own as of yet, and you need help there. So to get a kid who's a fifth-year senior, we've seen this in basketball. You're probably wondering, how is it they get a kid from UCLA that's within the Pac-12 conference? I didn't think kids could transfer from school to school without losing a year of eligibility. He's already a graduate, but he has his year of eligibility. So it's a pretty simple way to get around the rule, and we've seen it quite a bit in the college basketball scene. So that's a very good pickup for Arizona State. Michael Delarusso comes up in about 6 minutes, sports360az.com. AZ Central Sports, We'll step aside here and we'll talk with the coach on the other side. Busy day. We'll get you caught up, reset all the things going on in the world of sports as well as we continue on. Talk to United comes up here in a couple of minutes. Head coach Michael Della Russo. That is momentarily. United 3-2 on the season. Huge crowd, record-breaking crowd. We'll talk to the coach about that with some video to show as well. That comes up here momentarily. Let's get you caught up. Some things on my mind in the world of sports, brought to you by Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you. The Santan Ford experience, pretty easy for me. I drive around in the Ford Fusion, the 2015 Ford Fusion. It's a hybrid, the hybrid model. Today, 52.5 miles to the gallon. I don't know about you guys, as much driving as I do, as many places as I go, I have to have a vehicle that is dependable, reliable, that I fit in, that I'm comfortable. I'm 6'8". I just don't fit in any old vehicle. The Ford Fusion does that for me at Santan Ford. General Manager Tim Hovick and company, they do it right. They are involved in the community. I saw Tim over at a Chamber of Commerce event for Ahwatukee the other day. We had a nice visit there. It's at Santan Ford. Santan Ford, where it is all about you, just off the Santan 202 in Val Vista. That is Santan Ford. Michael Della Russo joins us now for a couple of minutes. We talk United. We walk United. Their home opener in their new stadium over at Scottsdale on Saturday night. A huge success with attendance. A huge success with enthusiasm. The results, what do you say, Coach? Thanks for coming on board. What do you say about the result?
Thanks for having me, bro.
Sure.
We won in every aspect for our organization on Saturday night, except for, you know, the result on the field and the final score. It was a great success for Arizona United, and hopefully it's just the beginning of, you know, the incredible support that we have around the state.
When I visited with you on the field right before the match, and you were so excited with the condition of the field, the fans were coming in, was your team a little caught up in the moment, do you think?
No, I was actually very happy with how our team played between the 18th. But at the end of the day, that's not where on the field most games are won.
Right.
So really executing on both sides of the ball, we have to get a little better. And credit Portland. They made the most of their chances. They're very good defensively on the day, and they countered well and executed, and we did not. But it's something to grow from, and we look forward to it. And really between the 18s, it was by far our best game, and it was the team that we want to play like. It's just, you know, putting the final pieces together.
Home this Saturday night, Colorado Springs Switchbacks. We'll talk about that, 7:30. There are tickets available. The match at Scottsdale Stadium. We have video, you know. We spare no expense on this show, Michael. So we have the video of the goals. And if you could take me through goal number one as we roll the video in and what happened on that play.
It was tough. We got caught a little bit. Our right back got caught a little bit high. And then guy made a great run, you know, honestly, in behind and got in behind Robin, our center backs, and other two defenders were ball watching a little bit. But another great run by their forward and a great service. So it was really well executed by them. We probably could have cleaned it up much higher up the field and prevented it. But, you know, it's one of those things where things happen very, very quickly. It's easy for me to sit there and watch on again on tape and slow-mo and rewind and do all this. But that's what we do, and we'll show our guys. And we like to press and we like to play high, so our backs are going to have to be able to defend in one-on-one situations with a lot of space. And we didn't do a great job of it.
Okay, let's go through goal number two and what happened on that one.
Yeah, it was pretty similar. We got caught a little flat in the back. The kid Belmar makes a very good run and gets in behind. Obviously, we knew of his speed before the game. We probably should, you know, in order to keep him from going, bump him higher up the field. So you distract him, take him off his run a little bit. We didn't do it. We recovered decently, a little bit too deep, though. Didn't get enough pressure on the ball. And, I mean, at the end of the day, the kid made a heck of a finish. So it was credit to them, like we said, but something that we can definitely prevent in the future.
No question. I mean, that was a terrific play. No question about it. Michael, today was a big day for the organization. You have the partnership with FC Dallas. You get a player on loan in Danny Garcia. I know United fans have been sending me notes all morning about that. What are you getting in Danny?
And then he's a very skillful, dynamic player. He can play out wide. He can play in the middle. He needs a, you know, he's a guy that needs to have a little bit of confidence. He's behind a lot of good players at FC Dallas. Did well for him last year in the four games that he played. Was actually man of the match for one of their games that I watched. Did very, very well. But he's a guy that needs a little bit of a fresh start and a little bit of jolt for his development. I think this is the perfect place for him. So we'll look to rotate him in up, probably up top on the outside. But we'll see how he fits in with the group. You know, he knows a lot of our players, fits in our system really well, and, you know, fans should be excited about him.
And he'll play quite a bit. Do you have a number in mind as we sit here on Tuesday for this Saturday's match?
Not yet, no.
All right.
So we'll see. We'll see how the week of training goes. Obviously, we had a good day of training today. And we'll see how the next 2 days go and get a better idea after that.
Before I let you go, Colorado Springs Switchbacks, what do you know? What can the fans expect on Saturday night?
They're a well-coached team. They've gotten some decent results. A bit unfortunate down in Austin. They have a couple guys that have been in the league for a while. They have some pace up front. But they're, you know, they're a team that can be dangerous. And if we don't execute, and if we keep them in the game, then they can find success. So I think a lot of it's on us. A lot of it's on how we come out, kind of how we execute in our final third and take our chances. And if we do well in those areas, which we're going to stress on the next few days, then we should be able to find success. But at the end of the day, anybody that came on Saturday, it's soccer. So
you know what's funny about that, Michael? What's funny about that is after the match was over, I went over and had a post-game drink, and the bars were full of fans. You had 6,100 there, which was a record attendance for Arizona United since coming on board. And those fans will come back. They loved the atmosphere and the environment. I mean, the result wasn't what you wanted, obviously. But from start to finish, and I saw lots of families, I saw corporate people that were there, and the stadium looked great. There was a lot to take away on a positive end.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was a very exciting night. You know, my wife even mentioned me afterwards, saying, you know, how exciting the game was. And, you know, there was a lot of buzz in the crowd, and she was obviously very excited. And I think it's, you know, something that people can take away. You know, even the non-soccer fans, somebody that wants a team and a good night and to go out and relax and, you know, have a good show. You know, that's what our boys like to put on. And I think we did a great job of that on Saturday.
I'll see you Saturday. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, Brett.
Good job there, Coach Michael Della Russo, joining us every week. Arizona United SC, we partner with United. We actually stream their matches on our site. We had a good amount of traffic the other night. Soccer is my thing is, as I started this company, it's what are sports that are emerging? Everybody around the world has basketballs and soccer balls with them. They do. They don't all have footballs. Doesn't mean the football is not popular. But if you're one of those, it's like soccer. No. And I have fun doing their games. I had a blast the other night, and it was a who's who of people that were there. That's what was cool about it.